بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading our aqaid and beliefs regarding the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Belief number 5, the Anbiya alayhim as-salam were the trustworthy servants of Allah Ta'ala. They would never conceal or hide any part of the message of Allah Ta'ala and the truth out of fear for any person. All the Anbiya alayhim as-salam fulfilled their duties most perfectly and were successful, even if no one accepted them. Belief number 6. The Anbiya alayhim as-salam are never removed from their posts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose knowledge is complete and all-encompassing, will never choose a person who will turn out to be unworthy of the post. Belief number 7. The rank of some Anbiya alayhim as-salam surpasses the rank of others. The rank of a Rasul is higher in status than that of a Nabi. A Rasul is a specific and special messenger, whereas a Nabi is a general messenger. Every Rasul is a Nabi, but not every Nabi is a Rasul. A non-Nabi can never be equal to a Nabi. Belief number 8. Allah Ta'ala granted the Anbiya alayhim as-salam some information of the unseen and future events according to need and expediency. But knowledge of all unseen things and being omnipresent is a speciality of Allah Ta'ala alone. Belief number 9. Only Allah Ta'ala is aware of the total count of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. The first of these messengers was Adam alayhi salam, and the final of these messengers was Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The remainder had been sent between these two. Some amongst them are very famous. The names of the famous Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam are mentioned here: Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Ayyub alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, Zakariya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Ilyas alayhi salam, Al-Yasa' alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, Dhul-Kifl alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, and Shu'ib alayhi salam. Belief number 10. Adam alayhi salam was created by Allah Ta'ala in Jannah from sand without the agency of human parents. Adam alayhi salam was the first man. He had no mother and no father. His wife Hawa radiallahu anha was created from his left rib. All human beings are from their progeny. Man appeared on earth in a state of spiritual, moral, intellectual, and physical perfection. Man is not the product of any evolutionary process which regards apes as the ancestors of man. To believe in Darwin's theory of evolution will cause a person to lose his iman. Belief number 11. Isa alayhi salam was created without the agency of a human father. He was miraculously born of Maryam radiallahu anha. Isa alayhi salam had not as yet died a physical death. He was raised bodily in the physical state in wakefulness into the heavens, where he is to this day. He will again descend to earth prior to Qiyamah. His prime mission will be to slay Dajjal. He will live on earth for a period and then die a physical death. Isa alayhi salam was not the son of God or God. There are many reasons why Isa alayhi salam cannot be God or the son of God as the Christians believe. A few are mentioned here. He was, number one, he was born of a mother. If being born of a single parent is a sign of being the son of God, then Adam alayhi salam will have a greater right to be called the son of God, as he was born without parents. Isa alayhi salam, number two, used to eat and drink. This is a proof of need and want, which Allah Ta'ala is completely free from. And the third point mentioned here, that Isa alayhi salam himself supplicated to and worshipped another being. If he was God, why did he supplicate to and worship another being? Or was he supplicating and worshipping himself? Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the eighth para was recited. Half, the first half of the eighth para is a completion of Suratul An'am, and then it is followed by a portion of Suratul A'raf. As mentioned yesterday, that these surahs, Suratul An'am, as well as the next surah, Suratul A'raf, being Makki surahs, revealed before the migration, before the hijrah. Therefore, the central theme and fundamentals, central theme of these surahs are the fundamentals of deen, which are tawheed, risalat, and the belief of the hereafter. The first ayat of the eighth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ignorance and the obstinacy of the polytheists, that is the mushrikeen. At the end of the seventh para, Allah ta'ala made mention of the fact that these mushrikeen, despite seeing numerous signs and proofs and miracles proving the truthfulness of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his message, yet they remain adamant and they demanded to see miracles of their own choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning that these people, they take oaths in earnest that if a sign comes to them, referring to a miracle of their choice, then they will definitely bring iman. But since they had no interest in really bringing iman, but instead they were offering fraudulent types of excuses in a way just to make an excuse that why we are not bringing iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in response to that tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tell them innamal ayatu indallah, that the showing of miracles, particularly those which you are requesting, is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Nabi cannot demonstrate and show a miracle from his own will and choice unless it is not the choice and a will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the first verse here, in the eighth para, Allah ta'ala then mentions that even if we have to send down upon these people angels from the skies, in other words, who will come and inform them of the truthfulness of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even if the dead speak to them, that we revive the dead and the dead then start speaking to them, and even if we have to gather for them everything right in front of them, even the things of the unseen, including Jannat and Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala says, مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا. They are not such that they will bring iman, except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. These types of demands they are making are just an excuse why they don't want to bring iman. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is consoled in the next ayat that this opposition and this mockery and this denial of your people is not something peculiar and new to you only. All the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam were also subjected to the same conditions. Allah Ta'ala says in a similar way, we had appointed for each Nabi enemies which were the shayateen from the insan and the jinn, who whisper to one another things which seem beautiful, but deception is intended. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ. If your Rabb, if your Allah had willed, they would not have did so. So, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leave them and all what they are concocting and all that wrong things which they are mentioning. Leave them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them as and when He wishes. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the Qur'an al-Majeed that Allah ta'ala has revealed the Qur'an al-Majeed to you in a detailed way. Everything needed for the guidance of mankind and for his success has been mentioned in the Qur'an al-Majeed. Therefore, the Qur'an al-Majeed being detailed and perfect in every regard will be a source of guidance for all people, for all generations, and for all conditions also, no matter how much they change. The Qur'an al-Majeed, the orders and the guidance of the Qur'an al-Majeed will remain the same. There is no need, what some people are saying, to now revise and completely re-edition the Qur'an al-Majeed. These are all statements of kufr. The reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this here is that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is no need to send the requested miracles which these people are requesting and demanding, because we have been granted the greatest miracle, that is the Qur'an Majeed. Concerning the Qur'an Majeed, Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا, that the word of your Rabb is complete, in other words, is perfect in truth and in justice. Everything mentioned in the Qur'an Majeed, whether the events and conditions which are mentioned in the Qur'an Majeed, the promises and the warnings mentioned in the Qur'an Majeed, are all based on complete truth, and all the injunctions and laws of Shariat mentioned in the Qur'an Majeed are based on justice. Nothing is outside these qualities of truth and justice. Allah Ta'ala says concerning the Qur'an Majeed, لا مبدل لكلماتي, none can alter and change the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah Ta'ala had taken upon himself the protection of the Qur'an Majeed, as mentioned elsewhere in the Qur'an Majeed, that Allah Ta'ala has taken that responsibility of protecting the Qur'an Majeed in every form upon himself. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the order, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ, that forsake all types of sin, outward and inward. So from this we understand that not only are we now, it is our obligation to forsake the external forms of sins, but it is also necessary that we cleanse ourselves from all the internal forms of sins and evil, which we call the spiritual ailments. And thus, how to cleanse ourselves from all these types of spiritual ailments, we have to now sit in the company of all of the mashayikh and the awliya Allah, and they will teach us the things which are connected to the spiritual ailments. In other words, they are our spiritual doctors, and they will teach us how we should now cleanse ourselves from all these types of ailments. Further on, Allah Ta'ala gives an example of a person of Iman, that the person of Iman, he is one who is alive and who has been granted the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with which he walks amongst the people, which means that light of Iman will benefit himself and all those around him. And the example of those who don't bring Iman, they are the example of the person who is like dead, and he is in a multitude of darkness from which he is unable to come out from. Light is such which subdues darkness. Darkness surrenders to light. So light will always remain dominant over darkness. In other words, Iman always will remain dominant over kufr. Although outwardly it might seem that kufr is being dominant, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make such conditions that Iman will always remain dominant. Further on, Allah Ta'ala explains that this granting of Iman and Hidayat is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has kept it by himself, and it is only the will and wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through which a person gets hidayat. Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to guide, Allah Ta'ala opens his heart for Islam. Allah Ta'ala divinely guides him. And the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to keep in misguidance, Allah Ta'ala restricts and constrains his heart, and he is not blessed with the divine light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning some of the false beliefs and the ignorant customs of the mushrikeen, particularly concerning their livestock and their crops, how they used to dedicate a portion of it for their idols, whom they regarded to be partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, Allah Ta'ala then mentions his numerous bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed mankind with. Here also, particularly when it comes to crops and plantations and also livestock. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning all that, Allah Ta'ala then mentions in the sixth ruku, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of those fundamental teachings which were unanimously taught to the nations by all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. 10 such commands have been mentioned here, and these commands were such that all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam were unanimous in propagating them to their respective nations. that don't ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deal kindly with your parents, don't kill children out of fear of poverty, don't approach immorality outward and inward, and don't kill, don't take the life of anybody whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sanctified unless for a just reason, and don't approach the wealth of orphans in an unlawful way, and be fair and just when it comes to weighing and measuring, and always be on justice even though it might be against your own relatives and family members, and fulfill your pledges and follow the straight path. These were the 10 commandments which all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were unanimous in propagating to their respective nations. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha, that person who brings forth a good deed, for him the reward will be tenfold. The point to understand here, that Allah ta'ala didn't say man amila bil hasana, that person who does a good action. Allah ta'ala says man jaa bil hasana. So not just to do an action, but also to look after that action and make it now presentable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when a person leaves this world, that is the main important thing. And that reward, Allah ta'ala will multiply tenfold. But Allah ta'ala says that the person who brings forth an evil and he commits an evil, he will only be retributed according to the extent of that evil. The punishment will not be multiplied. This is the great justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala will do so. Allah ta'ala then tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that make this dua and make this proclamation, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen la sharika la, that my salat, my other acts of worship, my living and my dying is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Lord of the universe, who has no partner. Wa bidharika umirtu, on this I have been ordered, and I am the first to admit, first to submit. So from here we understand that all our actions, everything should be only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the second point we understand that our entire life and death should be dedicated for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time and again we are reminded that we have to now correct our intention, and our focus of life should be, and we should understand why we have been created in this world, and everything we do. Outwardly, we have to now use the means of the dunya and to see to the our living in this dunya. But our main focus and our intention should be that we will dedicate our entire life and everything within that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The surah then concludes on this point that Allah ta'ala mentions, that we have made you successors on the earth, vicegerents on the earth, for the obedient to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala then mentions that we had raised the ranks of some over others, so that Allah ta'ala can test you concerning that which Allah ta'ala has given you. From this we understand that whatever bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, some more, some less, whether it might be physical bounties, whether it might be monetary bounties in the form of wealth, might be in abilities and capabilities and talents, all this are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are tests for mankind. It is not something to be proud about, that I've got more wealth or talent or ability than the next man and then look down on the next man. No, it is a test that how we are going to use these bounties for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, the next surah, Suratul Araf, is also a Makki surah. Particularly, the aqaid and mention is made of the year after, and also concerning Risalat. That is why many, many incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salam of the past have been mentioned in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that on the day of Qiyamah, that the weighing of deeds is a reality, it will happen. Here also we should understand that deeds will not be counted, but they will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. So it is not the number and the quantity which is actually now required, it is more to do with the quality, and we should improve the quality and make it worthy, more worthy of acceptance. That is why here weighing has been mentioned. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the incident of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, and also how shaitan through his deception then caused Adam alayhi salam together with Hawa alayhi salam, then they were taken out of Jannah and put on the earth. Their deception and trickery are all mentioned here. In this, there are lessons that the clash between shaitan and man had already started from the time Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created and will remain till the end of time. Therefore, we should be always wary and take our precautions concerning the deception and the trickery of shaitan. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a unique thing in this surah, Allah ta'ala addresses mankind through the words Ya Bani Adam 4 times in this surah. Normally, insan is addressed as Ya Ayyuhan Nas, but here, Ya Bani Adam has been mentioned. Allah Ta'ala addresses mankind with these words 4 times, and in 3 of those 4 times, mention is made of clothing also. Allah Ta'ala in the first incident mentioned, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا, that, O children of Adam, we have sent down for you clothing. The raw materials for clothing Allah Ta'ala has provided, through which Allah Ta'ala says, you cover your private parts, and it is a means through which you get beautification and beauty on your body. Then Allah Ta'ala reminds us that there is another type of garment and clothing, which is the clothing of taqwa. And that Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ khair, is the better one. So in other words, clothing is definitely necessary, and it is a means of beauty and honor also for man that he wears clothes. And through it, a distinction is made between human beings and animals also. Animals, they don't cover up, but human beings, they are naturally, it has been made for them that they cover their body, particularly their private parts. But a person should also understand that just as clothing are for the beauty and protection of the body, similarly, taqwa is also necessary, because true taqwa will deliver a person and grant him salvation from the difficult conditions and the punishments of the hereafter. So Allah Ta'ala diverts our attention also to the garment of taqwa. Further on, the next instance, Allah Ta'ala mentions, O children of Adam, let not shaitan mislead you, as he has taken out your parents from Jannah and has removed from them their clothing so that their satr, their private organs, can be exposed to one another. So this refers to the incident where shaitan, through his deception, tricked Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Adam alayhi salam then made a mistake of eating from the forbidden, and with the result that the first effect of that was the garment of the clothes of Jannah fell off their bodies and their satrs were exposed. So the first attack of shaitan on men, the effect of it was that the clothing was dropped from their body, which indicates that it is the main aim of shaitan that humans must lose their shame and modesty, and because nudity and removing of clothes is something which shaitan wants to make insan obsessed about. And this is what we see all around us today, that people have become obsessed with nudity and immorality to such an extent that even those, what we see, that women who are supposed to have shame and modesty of the highest levels, but they the way they have made it such that they have lost their modesty and morality to the extent that nudity is now the order of the day, and women have become like a cheap commodity where people are using them just to now advance their financial interest and sale of merchandise, etc. Every advertisement, no matter of what it is, but somehow or the other they will put some form of nudity and a woman there without her clothes so that people get attracted to that. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning the people of Iman and the people of Kufr, and on the day of Qiyamah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will retribute each of them, the people of Jannah and the people of Jahannam, how they will converse with one another. That is also mentioned here. And A third group who are called the Ashabul A'raf are also mentioned here, for which the surah has been given its name. A'raf is a place between Jannat and Jahannam. Some people will not be entered into Jannat initially, and they will not be sent to Jahannam because of their good and bad deeds will be equal. So they will be stationed on A'raf for a certain amount of time, and their conversation also with the people of Jannat is also mentioned here, and eventually Allah Ta'ala through His mercy will enter them into Jannah. Further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala then makes mention for the rest of the para, the incidents of many of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam, the incident of Nuh alayhi salam in his nation, the nation of Hud alayhi salam, who were called the nation of Ad, and then the nation of Thamud, and also the nation of Lut alayhi salatu was salam, and then it terminates on the incident of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. All these incidents mentioned in the Quran Majeed, throughout the Quran Majeed, the purpose of these incidents is, one is consolation to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that not only your people are rejecting the message and refusing to accept the message of Haqq, but this happened to the previous Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam also, but in all instances, it was always Haqq that remained dominant and triumphed, and evil and kufr was always subdued. Allah Ta'ala punished these nations and destroyed them because of their evil and transgression and disobedience. Another reason is to prove the truthfulness of the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These incidents occurred many centuries before even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into this world. But with great accuracy, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions their incidents. Definitely that it is through wahi, and this Quran Majeed is not the word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam or any of mankind, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word. And another reason for our mentioning of all these incidents is for us, the rest of mankind and the ummah, to take lessons from, that these nations, not only were they punished because of disbelief and not believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they were also involved in many different types of evils. For example, the nation of Lut alayhi salatu salam were involved in the evil, besides disbelief, also involved in the evil of homosexuality. The nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam, their main type of evil which they were involved in besides disbelief was that they used to cheat when it came to measure and weight. And like that, the other nations also, for example, the nation of Hud alayhi salam, the Ad, they were very powerful, and they were and because of their pride, they refused to accept the message of Haqq. So in these incidents, they are great lessons for us, that we should now make sure that these types of evils, we don't get involved in them, which could invite the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال: إن الله تعالى لم يفرض على عباده فريضة إلا جعل لها حدا معلوما، ثم عذر أهلها في حال العذر غير الذكر. فإن الله تعالى لم يجعل له حدا ينتهي إليه، ولم يعذر أحدا في تركه إلا مغلوبا على تركه. رواه ابن كثير. حضرت عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهم سے نقل کیا ہے وہ فرماتے ہیں کہ حق تعالی شانہو نے کوئی چیز بندوں پر ایسی فرض نہیں فرمائی جس کی کوئی حد مقرر نہ کر دی ہو اور پھر اس کے عذر کو قبول نہ فرما لیا ہو، بجز اللہ کے ذکر کے نہ اس کی کوئی حد مقرر فرمائی اور نہ عقل رہنے تک کسی کو معذور قرار دیا. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, nothing has been made obligatory by Allah Jalla Jalaluhu without fixing a maximum limit for it and excusing shortcomings in respect of it, except his dhikr, for which no limit has been fixed, nor has any person, as long as he is sane, been exempted from it. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, nothing has been made obligatory by Allah Jalla Jalaluhu without fixing a maximum limit for it and excusing shortcomings in respect of it, except his dhikr, for which no limit has been fixed, nor has any person, as long as he is sane, been exempted from it.